From New York to San Francisco, Portland to Austin, there's a rising number of U.S. cities that have benefited and suffered from the increasing trend toward urban life. Gentrification can be a rebirth for struggling cities, but it can also have a negative effect on longtime residents. Over the past few years, Tucson has seen new development downtown and in neighborhoods like Barrio Viejo and Dunbar Spring. Some changes have caused controversy over what sort of new residents the city is attracting. Amanda LeClaire sat down with Gary Paivo, University of Arizona professor of urban planning, plus Tucson Weekly editor Dan Gibson and city councilwoman Regina Romero to discuss how a city like Tucson can grow without alienating longtime residents.
Gentrification is a word that's been around for probably 30, 40 years, and it usually means it's referring to this transition where people who are generally more affluent than the people who are currently living in a given neighborhood move into that area because that area is more attractive for whatever reason it might be. Maybe it's closer to this new growing employment center, or maybe it's an area that has certain cultural traits that become popular. That usually can then cause an effect on the property market. There's two kinds of effects that are particularly significant. One is that the rents can start to go up as the property owners start to cater to the folks that have higher incomes. If you own a house in that location, then the effect is a little bit more indirect, often through property taxes, because the property values go up. And instead of having stores that are selling goods that are targeted at the more modest income folks that lived there before, maybe upscale stuff starts to happen, and folks who are living there don't have the services that they perhaps need. The concern is, therefore, the displacement of the existing neighborhood and community by this bidding up process and these higher expenses.
Now, you've studied that happening in other cities. Is it something that you see beginning to take effect in Tucson?
I can't say I've seen it happening yet. There's always a risk of that when neighborhoods become more popular. And so what we're seeing in especially the Fourth Avenue and the downtown area, the modern streetcar corridor, is this kind of infilling and upscaling or development that's going on. And as the area becomes more popular, if the supply of new housing doesn't keep up, we could end up with a situation like that occurring and some folks finding themselves squeezed that way.
Regina, one of the articles I was mentioning before specifically mentioned Barrio Hollywood is this great place for people to come in and rent or buy. And that's in your district. Have the people, your constituents, have they kind of been discussing these concerns with you?
When I got elected, the streetcar was a possibility. We had neighbors that were very concerned and nervous. And so what we pushed and I pushed on the city council was that we do programs that would protect our neighborhoods, Barrio Hollywood, Kroger Lane, Menlo Park, El Rio. Those are neighborhoods that are traditionally, historically been Hispanic neighborhoods. And as a matter of fact, many of the families that live in those neighborhoods used to live in Barrio Viejo. And when the TCC was built, push these families west of the freeway. And so that is very present. It's very present for me and in our neighbors. So the city of Tucson created a program that helps low-income families to help pay their property taxes. We want to make sure that the families that have been there for two, three, four generations can stay there. If infill is done in the responsible way, you plan ahead. So if you do it in a planned way, if you plan for affordability for families that have traditionally been in those homes to stay, then we should not be afraid of progress. We should not be afraid of infill development.
And Dan, you're kind of knowledgeable about this. There's been a bit of a backlash in, you could say, the creative artistic class that's already in Tucson against some of the development that's been happening downtown. Can you explain what that was?
Anytime something new is coming, there's a group of people that will pop up and just instantly say, this is terrible. We don't want nice things, which it's such a simplification of it, but that's like basically the argument. If there's anything that has a $10 burger or a $6 taco or whatever, there's just like this instant sort of backlash. So there is a sort of group of people in Tucson who want Tucson to stay in this little space. And it's sort of mobilized by a slogan, which is not necessarily appropriate for air, but, keep Tucson, fill in the blank, and a riff off of the keep Portland weird or keep Austin whatever, you know, and they rallied around this idea of having this space that stays the same all the time. And that ship has already sailed by and large. And it's sort of a rebellion against that idea. There's no like coalesced movement or anything, but just there are a group of people who want things to stay the same always. To me, it's sort of a funny argument because that argument could have been made by Barrio Viejo. It was made by Barrio Viejo. Like, none of us own that space, really. And if somebody did, somebody else had claim before it before I got there before. And the person who made that claim before to me had somebody else make that claim. It is going to evolve. The thing that is counterintuitive to me is that Tucson has always sort of lacked a distinct creative class. I mean, there's always been people here who are starting bands and opening shops and stuff, but it's always been at a very low level that just doesn't always work. Those things have turned over quickly. You haven't seen a lot of lasting movement in that space. So it's encouraging to me to have people come in and maybe, you know, join in one of these business incubators happening downtown, that you have software firms, which is sort of a foreign thing to this area. I'm encouraged that I hear people say now that they're going to start something here instead of moving to another city.
I think a lot of the kids that grew up in the suburbs through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they're the ones in the overall trend who are coming back to downtown cores. But I think what's being found out is that a lot of them aren't as interested in, say, having a family. Is there space? And Gary, you've studied other cities. Is it possible to have, like Dan was talking about, the $10 burger or the $20 pizza and the stores that cater to the small middle class family?
Well, I think it is possible, but it isn't going to happen all by itself. The city has to identify those assets that it wants to help preserve, and that would include current affordable housing stock as well as affordable spaces for artists and startups. And those have to be identified and protected. When you have a market that is becoming attractive to higher end folks, and not every person who's a young person who's interested in moving to these places are necessarily higher earners, but to the extent that we are talking about an increase in the cost of real estate and so forth in these places, then you're going to need to have a public-private partnership get involved in making sure that these things are protected, because they will be displaced. And so you can look at, for example, the way art spaces and artists have moved from one end of New York City out of the city, certain parts of LA out to Silver Lake, and now they're being pushed out from those kind of places. You can just see this process happens all the time. So, you know, in some respects, it's an indication that we're having success with revitalizing our city, but it's a negative side effect that we have to just be really aware of and take good care of. The other interesting thing that's really important to point out is that there's a debate as to whether or not it's the creative, innovative young people that are attracting the economic development, or whether it's the investment by the city that is attracting the young people. And the only real city that I would point to of a major city that is growing rapidly and that it's pretty clearly partly because of its attraction to people in their 20s who want to move there and migrate there from other parts of the country would actually be Portland, Oregon. Portland seems to definitely have that strong component in its economic growth. And it's only because that city was very aggressive in containing urban sprawl, encouraging investment in the center, promoting modern streetcar as well as light rail, preserving historic buildings. This is an economic development strategy that you don't see happen too often for a region. This is one of the few regions in the country that has that available to us, this idea of becoming hip and being a place for what we would call cultural consumers, people interested in the arts. If that's an opportunity for us, then it's very special, very rare, and it's something we have to really continue to invest in to make possible.
And Dan, maybe you can talk about this, but in, you know, the cultural consciousness, Portland is this anomaly, this kind of basically a playground for people in their 20s.
Where young people go to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. With the people that you talk to in the creative scene here in Tucson, is that something that they would desire here?
Tucson has always had, at least from my perspective, and always has that little bit of like a grit to it. Then I think that's partially what's appealing to people. I don't know if Portland has that feel. I don't know if Tucson's ever going to be that place. I mean, I think there's a space that's different, that it's like, Tucson has always, to me, had a hustle, like an underdog sort of feel to it. And maybe that works better for us. Here, it's like, I'm going to start something. I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to make it happen. And I think there just hasn't been always the catalyst or like the fuel to make that stuff happen here. I think Tucson could be the home of like that sort of catalyst action. And I think it fits within our sort of general aesthetic anyway. We're always going to be the place that's second to Phoenix in a lot of ways. And we're always going to feel like the people that are put upon by the capital and by everything. You know, Tucson's a city people forget about. And I think we can take that sort of this a space that has ambition and sort of a chip on our shoulder and make something out of it. That's what I hope for more than a new Portland. Tucson was always trying to be someone else. It was always like, well, what can we do to be more like this place? They have great stuff in Austin. What can we do to be more like Austin? I think maybe we finally found this space where a combination of city leadership and people moving here and starting things that Tucson can be itself, that it can be a better Tucson than an emulation of a space somewhere else.
Tucson has always had that flavor, as you say, Dan, that it has a, it's its own. And we should be very proud of the history and the culture that we've had here. More than 4,000 years of continuous living in my ward, in Ward 1, at the base of A Mountain. And so I, as a person that's part of a council, have always tried to promote what we are. And what I'm looking at right now in terms of investment happening in our urban core is so satisfying. We see 4th Avenue still with its local shops, with its local flavor. We see even downtown, locally owned stores, restaurants, with its own ideas of what we Tucson are. I like that. And so as we see investment, we need to make sure that we're not afraid of progress, because Tucson is a progressive city, but that we're planning together to make sure that the needs that we, what we love about Tucson, the grunginess, the grit, the culture, the history, the families that have been there for many generations are part of the investment that's happening within our city.
There's more of that roundtable discussion on our website, azpm.org.